We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back on for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code BLEAV to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. Bet online, where the game starts.
At the 15, at the 10, at the 5, still going.
Look at him go.
The goal line, bullseye. It's a Buffalo touchdown.
Welcome back, folks. Hello again, this is your host Kyrie Demos, and this is Bullseye, the UB Bulls football podcast. Today I'm flying solo, no guest on the show today, but you know we've got a lot to talk about as the Bulls come off their second win of the season, their second non-conference win, their first win against an FBS opponent this past week against Old Dominion, and you know what a game it was. You know, it was really the tale of two halves. You know, UB started out on fire. You know, they first the program first got on the board with a CJ Brazil blocked field goal return touchdown. So very unique play there. But you know that catapulted into a 28-point second quarter where Kyle Van Treese passed and rushed for a touchdown. Then Dylan McDuffie added a touchdown, and then another return touchdown as Tim Terry ran a fumble recovery back. So a lot of scoring in that second quarter for the Bulls. And, you know, things were looking good. Life was good in the first half for UB. But life was definitely not too good in the second half as they gave up a 27-0 run. You know, the Bulls really were dominated by the Monarchs in the second half. But at the same time, too, UB was able to pull the game out. You know, was able to secure the win. You know, it was a, you know, thankfully, UB was able to combat the, you know, the run in the second half with, you know, the mixed extra point, you know, pulling up the name here of the kicker for Old Dominion. Nick Rice. Who just missed out on that extra point to be able to send the game in overtime, you know, after DJ Mack Jr.'s touchdown pass late in the action connecting to Zach Kuntz. So, you know, again, it was definitely a nail biter and one that I know Coach Mo Linguist and his staff have a lot to show with the program. But I think one thing that's very hopeful about the game is just the simple fact that UB did not have its best showing. You know, hey, yes, they looked great in the first half, but the Monarchs really pulled a Lee Corso and said, not so fast, my friend, in the second half, and really were able to take control of the game. Thankfully, UB was able to hold off in the end, but, you know, it's definitely something that I don't think it's a way that UB wants to, and the Bulls want to be living, you know, throughout the rest of the season. You know, that was a very, very close call. You know, even just thinking about it, Kyle Van Treese, I know he had 191 passing yards in the game, but 117 of those came in the first or in the second quarter alone, not just the first half. So, you know, it was discouraging to see how the passing attack was slowed down to some extent. But, you know, one real bright spot in the passing game was Keon Williams, you know, one of our guests from a couple weeks back now. You know, he was able to have his best game as a collegian. 9 receptions, 134 yards, and a touchdown. He's up to 24 catches and 346 yards during his time here as a Bull. And, you know, he's averaging 86.5 yards a game. And, you know, he really just seems to be such a great fit in Shane Montgomery's offense, you know, for Kyle Van Treese. And, you know, he also has a nice complement with Dom Johnson as well on the opposite side. So, you know, the passing game, I know there's been some ups and downs. You know, Kyle Van Treese only has 2 touchdown passes through 4 weeks of action. But let's take a deep breath. I think just knowing that UB played through some of the toughest slates that it possibly could, you know, being able to have a, you know, 16th ranked team in the nation. I mean, Coastal Carolina on the ropes, you know, just a couple mistakes here and there in the second half that really held the team back mistakes early on that, you know, the second half run that UB made, you know, really held the team back. You know, even just thinking about the Nebraska game, you know, a lot of plays that, or there were only several plays that really determined it. You know, the game was really tight throughout, and just the late sequence in the second quarter was really the difference. So, you know, I think UB, to be able to get this win, the Bulls have to be delighted. Just one, like I mentioned, being able to play a game, win a game, and know that, hey, that might not have been our best effort forward, our best foot forward on tape. You know, I think that's something that's very meaningful. But also, too, just knowing that, you know, the Mo Linguist era is really getting off to a start that the team really should not be hanging its head over. Like I mentioned, the Coastal game and the Nebraska game, those were two tough losses. But to be able to hang around with those teams, and, you know, also to even with the Old Dominion game, being able to travel on the road and take on a team, you know, in a similar regard as yourself, you know, I think the Bulls should be very proud of themselves for how they've handled things thus far. You know, just taking a look at, you know, some names to highlight. Dylan McDuffie led the team in rushing now for back-to-back weeks as he finished with 59 rushing yards and a touchdown. You know, he actually is the team leader in rushing touchdowns at the moment with 4. We mentioned Keon Williams. And, you know, speaking of that running game, you know, the Bulls have 3 backs that are around the 200-yard rushing mark with Dylan McDuffie, Kevin Marks Jr., and Ron Cook Jr. You know, a lot was made about what this offensive line could be and, you know, what they would put out on tape. Through 4 games, this team has yet to allow a sack. So, you know, just continuing on with the trends that this team set in the trenches, you know, over the last handful of seasons, you know, so keeping things going, you know, now that, you know, Coach Matt Stansfield is the head offensive line coach, and James O'Hagan being back in the program as well. You know, they've definitely been able to do some things and bring those guys along. And, you know, they've continued to carry on the tradition that a lot of others, like Keyote Owusika and others, began a few years ago. So just looking at, you know, the defensive side of the ball, you know, the second half, again, was not pretty. But at the end of the day, the Bulls were able to pull off the win, you know, just – thinking of some names that stood out defensively, Kadafi Wright, you know, finished with a team high 11 tackles, a sack, and a forced fumble. Corey Gross broke out a little bit, getting back to his 2020 form with 10 tackles, as well as 10 tackles for Max Michelle, who finished with a sack, and Marcus Fuqua. James Patterson doing his thing as usual, 8 tackles, a sack, a pick, a forced fumble. You know, he was one of the, you know, he had one of the game-saving tackles later in the game as well. So, you know, he continues to show why he's been an All-MAC performer, and, you know, why he is the captain, one of the captains of this team, and why he just brings so much to the table for the Bulls. You know, I think he's a guy that, you know, obviously he leads by example, knows what's right, does what's right, but he's a guy that, you know, his play on the field matches that same energy and intensity. So it's exciting to see that he's taking advantage of his senior year. And, you know, obviously his twin brother, Jarrett Patterson, is playing on Sundays. You know, if James continues this trend, you never know, he may be joining him as a, you know, NFL contributor sometime next year. So, you know, I think also too, you know, just thinking about this game and statistics and things of that nature. You know, definitely was a strong showing from the Monarchs, especially in the second half. You know, they were able to outgain the Bulls in first downs, passing yards, rushing yards, and total offense as a whole. But I think two things stood out for UB, and the Bulls should try to lean on these things moving forward. You know, I think, you know, the fact that they were able to win the time of possession, and they've done that. They did that also against Coastal, I believe, as well, which is a pretty important stat. You know, I think it's something that shows that, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you're a team that is winning the time of possession battle, but also, too, you mix in the Bulls won the turnover battle 3-1, and to have a special teams touchdown. The formulas have shown that, you know, if you're winning in all those categories, also including in the specs touchdown, the percentage of you winning, or the chances of you winning that game, percentages show that, you know, it's much more likely if you're able to follow through with that. So it just goes to show. I think, you know, like I mentioned, you know, with UB not playing well, playing up to its standard in terms of the second half versus the first half, but also too to think of, you know, just some of those things that I mentioned with the time of possession and turnover battle. Those are all things to really hang, you know, UB's cap on moving forward, as, you know, as the Bulls enter MAC play, as they bring on a high level opponent in Western Michigan, and you know, they look to continue on with, you know, what's been a solid start here in the Molinguist era. So, just thinking about the game, as we just discussed, we have some post game press conference chatter from Molinguist and James Patterson. So, take a listen here, guys, and enjoy.
Yeah, proud of the guys to find the way to battle and come away on the road with a 1-point victory. Listen, these games, when you go on the road, there's so many elements involved to the overall outcome of the game. And just proud of the guys for finding a way. You know, I've been a part of enough of these games where, you know, a play doesn't happen here, a play doesn't happen there. And we're having this conversation after a loss. Right now, we're having this conversation after a win. We still go right back to the process and the systematic approach that we got to have every single week to get ourselves prepared. We're going to watch this film. We're going to make the changes we need to make, emphasize the things we need to emphasize, and make any adjustments that are needed to continue to improve this team.
Rachel, you can lead us off.
What was the biggest difference for your team between the first and the second half? You're leading 35-7 at that, cruising, and then Ultimate
scores
with 27 unanswered points. Where
were
the breakdown?
What
was the breakdown for this team in the second half?
I just think it's the nature of big-time college games on the road. I mean, it's a hostile environment. Old Dominion, credit to those guys for battling back, and they responded to the situation that they were in. There's a couple plays where we had a couple balls on the ground. We could have made a player here where we could have gone off the field, and we didn't make the play. So we're going to watch the film. We're going to look at everything that we need to look at and make sure we point out the things we need to point out to this team in terms of what didn't go the way that we planned on it, in order, and really go back to our practice and have everything that we do just to make sure we're looking at all pieces of this roster right now. But again, these games, they could have gone in a direction. Really, you look at Coastal, we could be sitting here really 3-1 right now. Even if we pull away a couple things with Nebraska, those things were within our reach. We found a way to battle on the road and get the W that we needed.
For you as a coach, too, to watch that final drive by Old Dominion unfold, what was your vantage point? How do you kind of keep the team on course, even when things are kind of going awry there?
Sure, boys. Boys is the answer. You know, boys, we talk about boys in pressure moments all the time with our roster and our locker room. You look at the drive that they had prior to. A ball is on the ground. We had an opportunity to scoop it up. There's another fumble. We had our hand on it. We didn't come away with it. And you really look at the fourth quarter. We had the one takeaway. Had another opportunity to get another takeaway. We didn't get it. But you have to have focus. You really do. They're big-time heavyweight fights. That's what they are. You're not going to always have pretty and perfect games. Sometimes you can be down. The battle has to battle back. You can be up. You got to stop somebody else's momentum. At the end of the day, we did what we had to do to get the W that we needed.
Hey, Coach, what do we can say about where Taylor Riggin goes this evening and how his not playing impacted this game?
Sure. Yeah, Taylor's a big time player for us. And we had a number of guys that were out with a couple of nicks and things that were going on. And Taylor's one of those guys. He'll be healthy and ready to go for back play. We missed him tonight. We didn't have him. We had some other guys that had to step up. That's the nature of the culture, though. You know, guys have to understand. Sometimes when you're a backup and a guy can be a backup and think, well, somebody else is going to be in there. I'm just really not going to be involved. We coach every single person to be ready at all moments. And we have some guys that really had their first opportunity to play a lot of action tonight. We'll watch the film and see how they did. With some other guys step up like Lang and did some good things. And we'll evaluate everything that we need to evaluate. But Taylor Riggins being out, you know, one of your best players on defense, one of your best players on the roster, definitely look forward to getting him back next week.
Coach, you pulled your team together at the end of that second half. You had a message for them for the final play. What did you say to your team at the end of the game there?
The end of the game or the end of the half?
Well, actually, you said something at the end of each half. I'd be interested in hearing about both. Second half, most importantly, though, however.
At the end of the half, we just talked about poise. Something I told Rachel a little bit. Just, you got a little chippy, you know, guys, competitive spirits get out there. They had one hit. We, you know, just back and forth. And just making sure guys have poise. At the end of the game, I just told them I love my guys. I'm proud of you guys. And there's a lot of accountability in this locker room. Everybody's saying, you know, I'm going to do a little bit better here. We're going to do better here. You appreciate accountability even after a win. And I just told the guys that I love them. We're going to watch this film. We will correct what we got to correct, and we'll move forward and improve.
Did you see the celebration on the field that Old Dominion was called for at the end of regulation after the touchdown?
I really didn't.
You didn't? Okay. But what was your reaction when you saw the flag come out?
I tried to get to the side judge and just ask them what was going on. Just get some communication. And just, hey, what's the situation? What's the flag about? What was going on?
You know, it's almost forgotten in the way the second half went, but in the first half, it was pretty wild also. Block kick started the game. Block punt, block kick, another block punt. What do you think your guys, who are the leaders in those situations to step up to give you guys the poise that you need to teach up off that?
Sure, I think CJ Brazil's block kick and return for touchdown really gave us a ton of, it's kind of a catalyst and gave us a lot of momentum heading into that in that first half. You know, I think both teams would probably say, you know, the kicking game is an area that kind of went back and forth for both teams. They could probably point out a couple things. I know I sure can. And again, the whole season is about the steady climb. It's about your journey, how to improve a roster, improve your team from week to week, and find ways to come out on the side that you want to come out on. So, like I said, guys, we're going to watch this film. There's so many moving pieces to it. We can talk through anything right now, but ultimately, we're going to watch this film, and we'll see exactly what we need to do to emphasize and change, and then we'll go from there.
Hello. Can you hear us?
Alright,
you want to just talk a little bit about the game, your overall thoughts, and then come away with a big road victory?
You know, wins are wins, but at the same time, it's a lot of things we can say about the team, and as a whole family, you know, it's a lot of things, like, as a role player, especially little things. Throughout the week, you know, we have to be better on those things, because those are pretty short in the game, and it's all today.
Rachel, Michael, first question. You're muted.
On that final touchdown drive by Old Dominion, what was your management on the touchdown? And did you see the player of Old Dominion come off and celebrate?
I didn't really see that. I just saw Corey Bowles get the ball for him. My reaction was to go around when he got him off and pick him up and have his back, you know. So the next play mentality and just ready to block and field goal because we started playing that play ball.
What was your vantage point on the field goal?
So we had like a block on, and then when I saw that ticket, it went a little bit to the right, and I see it was no good. So I started thinking no good, and then we know we won. So I still knew that we had one more play to play, and I was like, they were gonna do we had answering, but I didn't.
I think I didn't have Taylor Riggins tonight.
It's a big change, but at the same time, we still try to find ourselves. Don't let one play or a couple players say how we're gonna play. You know, we still want the twos, the threes, the six. I'm not gonna want, you know, to have no drop offs.
Can you question?
Yes, I do. James, what changed in the second half of your Bears playing by? What do you like a lot floppier in the first, a lot crisper in the second? And what did you see doing differently in the second that led to their success?
No, I wouldn't even say that it's different. This is on us. You know, we let our foot off the gas. As a defense, as a family, you know, we just got back to the table for being sloppy ourselves.
What's your method to your teammates and to yourself to actually go into a bad play that week?
You know, right now I want them to be happy, but like, as soon as all of them want to come together, that we have to be better. So my play is way different than our play. Everything counts. We can go home or just go home or go home. You know, can't sit there and take any game for granted. It's going to be different every week.
Thank you.
In particular, you talk about your knees getting lackadaisical, being sloppy. What were the problem areas in particular for your team in the second half, especially on defense?
Communication, execution, and just the ones, you know, we start getting out of the game, like they're going to lay down, and they're going to get us the win. But at the same time, we know in the future that we have to keep going and take the win and take the offs.
Anything else for James? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Alrighty, guys, just looking into the matchup ahead for the weekend. It's going to be an exciting matchup just for the fact that this is a game where this is a potential MAC title game preview. You know, we've got two of the best teams in the MAC. You know, obviously what UB's done over the last handful of years, you know, but currently they're tied record-wise with Bowling Green atop the MAC East at 2-2 overall. But also, too, just looking at what Western Michigan has done, you know, starting out 3-1, you know, tied atop the MAC West currently with Eastern Michigan. And although Toledo is the only team that's gotten into MAC play on that side, you know, still, you know, the Broncos have shown to be a very strong team, you know, coming off of a 23-3 victory over San Jose State. You know, they also were able to down Pittsburgh 44-41 and shut out Illinois State at the FCS level, 28-0. So, you know, the program has been able to, make its way, especially coming off of the season opening loss to Michigan. And, you know, it all starts with the quarterback play of Caleb Ellaby, you know, who is atop the MAC currently with 902 passing yards, 7 touchdowns and no interceptions. And, you know, I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting matchup to see how the Bulls defense comes to play against, you know, Ellaby, who, you know, has been able to attack a lot of defenses. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he actually did go over 300 yards against Pitt, you know, and that's saying something. You know, obviously Pitt being over in the ACC now and everything like that. So, you know, to be able to have a performance like that, you know, in a win as well, you know, I think says a lot about the talent that Ellaby has himself, but also too, you know, some of the guys he has, you know, around him as well. You know, he's got, you know, pretty strong receiving core, you know, with talking about Crooms, Corey Crooms, who is only second behind Keon Williams in the MAC conference, you know, with his 334 receiving yards. He also has 20 receptions and 3 touchdowns on the season. But, you know, the Broncos have some other guys as well. You know, just thinking about Sky Moore, who also has over 240 yards, and just talking about Jalen Hall as well. You know, he's got 200 yards receiving thus far, 202 to be exact on the season. So, you know, some dangerous weapons that, you know, this Bulls defense is going to be having to match up against. You know, it's going to be great to see what the secondary can do with Jamarcus Ingram, Corey Gross being back there as well. You know, just thinking about some of the challenges I think UB could potentially be posed with in this game too, specifically on the defensive side, you know, going up against the Western Michigan offense. It's going to be, you know, I'm really going to be keyed in to see what the running game is looking like for the Broncos. You know, they've been able to put together, you know, pretty strong running game. You know, that just thinking about Sean Tyler and Ladarius Jefferson, they've combined for 556 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns thus far this season. And, you know, can UB really stop the run? You know, ever since the Nebraska game, you know, I know the numbers are going to be a little bit skewed, having played three straight mobile quarterbacks, but that's the name of the game now. But UB has given up an average of 242.7 rushing yards per game, you know, so that's definitely not a number that Mo Linguist, you know, wants to uphold. And you know, I'm sure he wants to get that turned around real quick. So just flipping over to the other side of the ball now, the UB offense, you know, I think also needs to lean on the running game. You know, seeing what Dylan McDuffie has been able to put together, seeing what Kevin Marks has been able to put together, Ron Cook as well, you know, all three guys going over to or being right in the roughly 200 rushing yard total range. You know, I think that's a strength that the Bulls need to keep relying on. You know, the offensive line has played up much better than, you know, some would have anticipated coming into the season, but they have a lot of continuity just in terms of, you know, it's a group that has really had a lot of guys developing, learning in the system, and has seen guys really now break through to, you know, get into the starting lineup like Gabe Wallace. But just thinking about the Western Michigan defense, you know, what defense is going to show up for the Broncos? You know, you have performances like last week against San Jose State and Illinois State where they give up three combined points. But on the flip side of that, you know, we talk about Pitt being able to put up 41 points on the Broncos, and as well as Michigan. Obviously, Michigan being the 14th ranked team in the country, that's, you know, a different animal. But at the same time, too, you know, it's been a lot of ups and downs for the Broncos defense. So I think that's going to be a matchup to watch, and I'm really intrigued to see who the Broncos have match up against Keon Williams, you know, Dorian Jackson or Theron Coleman. You know, just thinking about what Keon Williams has been able to do. You know, he's had 90 yards or more in three of his four games here at UB. So just seeing how impactful he's been for Kyle Van Treese in the offense, I think it's going to be important moving forward. You know, but especially with this game, I think this is a game that Keon Williams can really take advantage of the Western Michigan defense if given the opportunities, you know, with Shane Montgomery's offense. Just also, too, talking a little bit about the offensive line. I know I mentioned them earlier, but, you know, talking about how they're going to match up against the defensive lineman, Ali Fayad, who has 4 sacks, and Ralph Holly, who has 3.5 sacks. You know, this is an unbelievable statistic, but UB has not given up a sack this season. I know I mentioned that, but they have only given up 2 sacks as a program with Kyle Van Treese under center, which is unbelievable, or in the last 18 games, my apologies. But regardless, an unbelievable statistic, and, you know, just goes to show that, you know, yes, some guys have moved on, graduated, gone on to NFL teams and things like that. But at the same time, too, this is a unit that continues to show its worth and really is the heart and soul of the team. You know, I think everything really starts and ends with the guys up front. And just knowing that the UB offensive line has just continued doing what it's been doing, you know, I think it's important to see. So, again, just talking a little bit about this matchup, I think the big thing is going to be seeing what Joe Cauthen and Mo Linguist, what type of game plan they devise to slow down Caleb Ellaby. You know, what James Patterson, the quarterback of the UB defense, you know, as a middle linebacker, what he will be able to do in terms of adjustments and, you know, being able to get his guys on the right page. You know, as I mentioned too, you know, just thinking about the secondary, you know, with a pre-Washington as well. You know, I think UB is in a position to really make a statement in getting the MAC play going. You know, I think obviously you know, the last time these two teams played, it was a lot of fireworks. You know, one of the most memorable games, not only in UB history, but in college football history, the 7 overtime win for Western Michigan, 71-68 final that was back in 2017. So it's been a little bit of time since the two programs have faced off. But, you know, I think this is going to be, again, another exciting matchup, two of the best teams in the MAC. You know, I think UB can really get itself in a position to stamp, you know, just what it's really just to stamp itself as a program that really is going to continue moving on. Obviously, the Lance Leipold era has come and gone, but the linguist era, the Mo Linguist era, is just getting underway. And it can really get going off on the right foot if MAC play is handled just the way the Leipold era handled it as well. You know, the best MAC team since 2018, you know, record-wise for UB. So, you know, to be able to keep that going, it starts with one. And I think this is a, you know, a great game to do because, you know, to be able to knock off a team like Western Michigan, who has, you know, some pretty notable performances and has shown to be, you know, one of the cream programs in the crop of the MAC this season. You know, I think it's just going to go to it will really be beneficial for UB to be able to pull this one out. So it'll be interesting to see, and we'll definitely be tuning into it. We'll definitely have some coverage for you guys. I'll be at the game Saturday just to let you guys know. And, you know, it'll be cool to be checking the game out from the booth, from the press box. So we'll definitely keep you guys posted on how things play out, what I see from the eye in the sky, and, you know, just how you know, things look for the Bulls this coming Saturday. So just wanted to let you guys know, as always, this podcast was brought to you by Bet Online. This is Kyrie Demos signing off. I'll definitely be checking in with you all very soon. Stay tuned and horns up, y'all.
Dreambeats.io.